Well, I don't know about you, but I am sick of unprecedented times. Lately, it seems a bit like Groundhog Day, doesn't it? With war still going on in Iran, with cost of living going up, with potential fuel crises happening, people are being encouraged to stay at home. There seems, at the moment, to be a lot of tension in the air, doesn't there? Anxiety, worry, fear. And it's exhausting, frankly. And back on that very first Easter morning, 3 days after Jesus died, Jesus' friends and family were experiencing unprecedented times. They had followed Jesus around the countryside for 3 years. They've hung on to his every word. They've seen his amazing miracles. They've left their families. They've left their incomes. They've left their jobs. They've left their security and safety, their homes, to go follow him. They had such high expectations of him. They thought that he would be the forever king of the Jews. But that's all come undone. Jesus has been betrayed by one of his closest friends. He's been put on a sham trial. People came up with all kinds of false accusations against him because he was blameless, but then Jesus was crucified, killed. He was killed in a way which was reserved for the worst of society. And now he's been dead for 3 days. What's even more is that the disciples probably thought that they were next on the chopping block. On that Easter Day morning, there would have been worry, fear, anxiety, uncertainty, hopelessness, unprecedented times. But it didn't stay that way. This is what it says in our Bible reading from Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. It was very large. So some of the women who were with Jesus his whole life came back to the tomb to do some of the burial rituals which you were supposed to do, but they had a bit of a problem. There was a big fat stone potentially in the way. The tomb would have been cut into a rock and then a big rock put in front of it at the entrance that they couldn't move by themselves. But as they come to the tomb, the rock's moved. The stone has moved. And Mark tells us, just to be sure, that it was a very large rock. Very large rocks don't just roll away. Something has happened here. And they entered the tomb and they found probably an angel. Verse 6 says this, "And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed.'" You could see why they would be alarmed, wouldn't you? Their Lord is dead, the stone is rolled away, and dude, you're just chilling here in the tomb? How can they not be alarmed? He says, "Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Don't be alarmed because Jesus Christ, who once was dead, is now gloriously alive. There's no need for fear because Jesus is alive. There's no need for despair because Jesus is alive. There's no need for hopelessness because Jesus is alive. Life has triumphed over death. Hope has won. Certainty has won. Jesus has won the complete victory over death." See, the religious leaders of that time tried to defeat him. They tried to do away with him. Death tried to hold him down. But nothing could. Jesus is completely alive and nothing could stop him. See, putting a stone in front of the tomb of Jesus is like putting scotch tape on the bottom of a Boeing 747 wheels. It has no chance of holding him. See, there are a lot of leaders today who try to claim that they have authority. There are a lot of smart people in the world who try to claim that they are the authority on their piece of work or in their field of study. There are a lot of skilled people in sports who claim to have authority over their chosen sport. And while that's all great and interesting, no one yet, except for Jesus, has claimed authority over death. Jesus is the only one because he himself has defeated death by rising again. There's no one more greater or more powerful than Jesus, which means that there is no one else who is more deserving of our trust. In a world where nothing is certain, in a world where truth is up for grabs, where tensions are running high, there is someone who we can run to for security and stability, and that's Jesus. If he is in complete authority even over death, and everything else, then he alone is worthy of our trust. What's the point of putting all your hopes and expectations in money when it's just going to be dispersed once we die? What's the point of putting our hopes and expectations in things like travel, which won't last and we probably get food poisoning or something? What's the point from putting our dreams in our health when we don't know what tomorrow brings? What's the point of putting our hopes and expectations even in our family, even in our children, when they can turn their backs on us or disappoint us? And if we put that burden on our kids, on our spouses to satisfy us completely, how is that fair on them? But there is one who is superior to our money, superior to our careers, superior to our social media profile, superior to our fitness, our relationship status, and our family status. That is Jesus, the Lord of all. If you've been a regular here at St. John's over the past 12 weeks, we've been uncovering Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. And we've seen that he is the one who has come to save us. He is the one who has authority over sickness, over creation. He is the one who is caring and compassionate and all-loving. He is the one who has provided for us. He is the one who we saw on Friday night die the death that we deserve. And he is the one who has risen again, defeating death. So he alone is worthy of our trust. And when we trust in the risen Jesus, that's when real life begins. It's written later on in the New Testament in a book called Ephesians this: "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, made us alive together with Christ." Alive together with Christ. When we put our trust in Jesus, we are, in a sense, raised with him. Whatever happens to Jesus happens to us, and so we become truly alive when we enter into a relationship with him, which means that we know that we are loved and cared for. We can know the radical, mind-blowing news that the God who made the universe, the stars, this whole earth, calls us his precious son or daughter. We can know that we are never alone. God promises his spirit, his presence with us for all who trust in him. We can talk to God in prayer. We can know what God is like through reading the Bible. Which means that in this world right now, where nothing is certain, where tensions are high, where things are unprecedented, we can face these things with certainty, knowing the God who knows us, who loves us, and who is for us. And not only in this life, but we can even face death with hope and certainty, all because Jesus is alive. Because the promise is that those who trust in Jesus, even though you die, you will have eternal life. Those who trust in Jesus will never die. Even though, yes, we may physically die, just as death wasn't the end for Jesus, death won't be the end for us. Just as Jesus was raised, we will be raised. About a week ago today, my grandfather died. He's been pretty well up until the last 3 months, and he's declined and declined and declined very, very quickly. But it was last Sunday that he went home to be with the Lord. And yes, while that's sad, and we'll deeply miss him, the glorious news of Easter Day transforms our grief. Because I know that my pa isn't dead. He is gloriously alive and having the best Easter day ever. Because he knows his Lord. He trusted in Jesus. He knew these words from John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Death is powerless for those who trust in Jesus. It's written elsewhere. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? In the face of Easter Day, death is listless. We can look death in the face, even with joy, because of Easter Day. Do you want this hope? Do you want this certainty? This joy, this hope, this stability, this security? Well, it can be freely yours today. All that you need to do is turn to Jesus. Acknowledge that you haven't been living with him as Lord and turn to him, and all of this will be freely given. It's a radical free gift. It's a radical grace. Completely undeserved. But also, if we don't, well, then we are still dead. Walking corpses. But Jesus can make us gloriously alive if we ask him. Christ has done everything needed for us to be saved. He has lived the life that we couldn't live. He has died the sacrificial atoning death as we saw on Good Friday. He rose again. He has risen. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. So friend, don't turn up to heaven unsaved. Don't turn up to heaven without having your sins forgiven. Just turn to Jesus, and it will all be given because of Easter Day. Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much that you sent Jesus into the world to live the perfect life that we couldn't live, to die the death that we deserve, and to rise again, assuring us of eternal life. So, Lord, refresh us in this good news. And Lord, I pray that if anybody here doesn't know this true life yet, please help them to seek you, to know you, and to turn to you, and know of the freedom, the security, the stability, the joy that it is to be a child of you. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.